A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened. Then Jesus sternly said to them, "See that no one knows of this." But they went away and spread the news about him throughout that district. After they had gone away, a demoniac who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the one who had been mute spoke, and the crowds were amazed and said, "Never has anything like this before been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "By the ruler of the demons, he casts out the demons." Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned the 12 disciples and gave him authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." God's word is life.
As followers of Jesus, called to embody his way in and through our own bodies, what does it mean to feed the hungry, to heal the sick, to forgive sins, to raise the dead? How is it that we can be Jesus? These are the themes that we are pursuing in the Sundays of July. Last Sunday, we began by exploring what it might mean for us to be about the call of raising the dead. Today, we'll consider our calling to join with Jesus in healing the sick. We've just heard Matthew's stories of Jesus restoring the sight of two blind men and casting out a demon so that a mute man could speak again. These are stories to be experienced, not explained. We so often attempt to explain these kinds of stories, making distinctions between ordinary events, those events we call natural, and those that seem extraordinary, those events we call miraculous, that would require supernatural intervention. But the New Testament does not make those distinctions. Rather, healing signs are signs of God's ordinary power at work, just in a more striking way. Like sacraments, these healing signs are pointing to the wholeness that is God's intent for humanity. These healings disclose God's purposes for us here and now. They are outward and physical expressions of God's intent. People reclaimed for life, relationships renewed between people, relationships renewed with the Creator. That's God's intent. And the strange thing is that Matthew's stories are our stories as well. We're invited into those stories to identify with the blind men, with the person held in bondage by a power that's silenced. We're invited into their stories to see whether that same transforming power, that power of the risen Christ, might be at work in our own bodies and in the bodies of those we know and care about. What is it to be trapped in a psychotic state, to be isolated from those you know who know you and love you? What would it mean for you to be called back into life again? What is it to be blind, to not see the way ahead, to be unable to perceive as others do? What would it mean for you to have someone open your eyes? What is it to be possessed by evil? What would it mean for you to be set free, to be given your voice back again? Did you notice that each of these stories of Jesus' miracles, they don't create faith. Rather, they presuppose faith. Jesus asked the two blind men, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they replied, "Yes, Lord." And then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done." And their eyes were opened. A mute man possessed of a demon was brought to Jesus. Someone had enough faith to bring him to Jesus, to trust that Jesus could do for him what no one else could do. And so it seems that faith is the essential channel for God's power to be at work. We are simply asked to participate with faith in acts of healing. Near the end of today's reading, did you notice how Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness? The question comes to us, did you hear your name in that list of disciples? Are you called to that work? Those of us who are followers of Jesus are called to that. Did you hear his instructions? Proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. What can Jesus possibly be meaning? Is healing about finding meaning? Is it about daring to ask, what is our suffering or the suffering of others really for? What's the purpose of it all? What's the meaning hidden in it? What's the meaning? In the end, healing is a lot about paying attention, about noticing about what's going on in ourselves and in the lives of others. It's about sharing the truth of our lives, sharing our unvarnished and unfinished stories, sharing our broken selves with other broken people, making sense, making meaning of it all. It's also about offering practical and spiritual support, like many of you do. Cheryl's not here, but if she'd been here, she could tell you about the healing that took place through those long weeks of confinement by your care, your love, your support. Trusting that Jesus has given all of his disciples authority to heal, it's ours to carry out this healing work, not through magic, but through the simple gift of being present. It's about comforting those who need comfort, challenging those who need to be challenged, paying attention, noticing the details, listening intensely, and loving without limit. It's true, sooner or later all of us will get sick. Sooner or later all of us will die. That's just a given. And most often that involves suffering. And suffering, whether it's acute or chronic, is just plain nasty. Most of us know that being with someone who is suffering is also very hard work. Our instinct is to run away, to avoid those situations. It's frightening to be with someone who is really suffering and to feel helpless in the face of pain and uncertainty. But being part of a Jesus community, being part of his healing ministry, means learning to be with those who are suffering. It means learning to be deeply present to the suffering one. It means being a tangible and visible sign of hope. It means holding the faith that God is close, even when we don't see how. And it means making sure those who suffer know that they are not alone. Healing is what I witnessed these past few days with Karen's father as his children gathered with him. From his fall on July 1st until he died late this past Thursday afternoon, his children were deeply present to him, speaking with him, holding him as he struggled, tenderly wiping his sweating face. They played and sang those great old hymns of our faith, reassuring him of God's abiding love. They expressed to him their deep, deep gratitude for his way of loving and encouraging them. They kept watch with him all around the clock, witnessing his courage, his strength, and witnessing his joy as he moved beyond our reach while anticipating what was awaiting him. It was indeed a grace-filled journey for us all. It was a profound time of healing for us all. In the end, the work of healing means fostering genuine relationships between the sick and the well. It means breaking down the barriers between the healthy and the ill. It means trusting that illness and suffering are, in the end, just part of our lives, a part that, like anything else, could help bring us closer to God. Healing is a lot about building relationships, caring relationships between people, deepening relationships with God. It's about being present to others and offering spiritual support to others to help them connect deeply with God. And because we are a Jesus community, called to embody God's presence, called to be the body of Christ, a lot of our spiritual work is grounded in our regular, ordinary bodies. We bring food to those who are sick. We might even bring the food from this table to their bedside. We visit those who are ill, encourage those who are struggling, offer our companionship to those who are lonely, offer a place to belong. We anoint faces and bodies with healing oil. We hold the grieving, rub the feet of those who are in pain. We pray for those who have no more words to offer. We sit with those who are dying. As a community of faith, perhaps the most powerful healing we can be about is to create space. Space for silence. Space for the pain and fear and horror. space even for rage, space for questions about why, space for life, and in life, space for death, space for the healing presence of God, space for prayer. Healing is about relationships with God and one another. And prayer is one of the deepest forms of those relationships. Prayer with God and with others. And so we are called to pray for one another. Prayer can't cure. All prayer can do is heal. Because healing comes embedded in relationships. And prayer is one of the deepest forms of relationship. Jesus calls his disciples out, giving us authority and sending us out. He doesn't show us how to cure diseases reliably. He doesn't show us how to make a blind man see or dry every tear or drive out all kinds of demons. But he does show us how to enter into a way of life in which the broken and sick pieces are held in love and given meaning, in which strangers literally touch each other, and in so doing make a community spacious enough for everyone. He shows us how to enter into a way of life in which the deepest desires of our heart draw us to health. Don't be afraid, Jesus says. Your faith will make you well.